How often do you hear it said that without religion and the existence of God, there is no foundation for morality? It is, of course, a blatantly false claim. Moral reasoning began long before religion. The first humans lived in social groups in which individuals had to compromise and surrender some of their freedoms in order to live together in relative harmony. Long before Christianity, the ancient Greeks, especially Aristotle and the Stoics, created a highly developed moral philosophy, totally independent of Greek religion, which in reality contained no moral instruction at all. Primatologists even speak of an incipient morality among our primate cousins. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you is the first law of social living, not a mandate from heaven. Today I'm going to be reading excerpts from two articles dealing with atheism, morality, and politics. The first is entitled The Unbearable Wrongness of William Barr. Professor of Secular Studies explains why secularism doesn't destroy moral order. The article is by Phil Zuckerman for Salon. The second is called Prodding the Irreligious to Vote. If atheists and agnostics participated more strongly in elections, America's moral climate would improve. First, from The Unbearable Wrongness of William Barr. Last month, in what Jeffrey Toobin called the worst speech given by an Attorney General of the United States in modern history, Attorney General William Barr offered a lecture at Notre Dame Law School in which he denounced secularism as a social pathology that destroys the moral order. After blaming secularists for most host of contemporary problems, including depression, drug overdosing, and violence, Barr explained that without belief in a transcendent supreme being and adherence to God's eternal law, the possibility of any healthy community life crumbles. Unless we follow God's instruction manual, he sermonized, there will be real-world consequences for man and society, consequences that are not pretty, but quite grim. For without religion, there can be no moral culture, and society will inevitably fall prey to humanity's capacity for great evil. Such hackneyed assertions are not new. Pious people of power have been scapegoating the non-religious for centuries, characterizing non-believers as threats to the nation, and declaring that without religion, there can be no moral social order. And like those before him who have made such claims, William Barr is wrong. Lots of people in a given society stop being religious of their own accord. Such organic secularization does not result in the evaporation of morality in society, nor national decay. For instance, the most secularized countries in the world today fare much better on nearly every measure of peace, prosperity, and societal well-being, including infant mortality, life expectancy, educational attainment, economic prosperity, freedom, levels of corruption, and so forth, than the most religious countries. Within our own country, on almost every measure of society well-being, from poverty rates to STD rates to DUIs, the most secular states tend to fare the best, while the most religious tend to fare the worst. Of course, such correlations don't prove that secularism causes the more positive outcomes experienced by less religious societies, but they do knock the knees out of Barr's thesis that secularism is a destructive force. For secularism resulted in moral deterioration, and highly secular societies would be decaying bastions of crime and misery, while the strong religious would be shining beacons of liberty and harmony. But we find just the opposite reality. The nations with the best overall qualities of life are among the most secular countries in the world. And while numerous factors account for differing degrees of societal well-being, factors that have nothing to do with religion or secularism, that's exactly the point. Societies thrive or fail because of their social policies, laws, economic opportunities, civil institutions, and government regulations, not because of their faith in God or lack thereof. Historical analysis is also relevant. The so-called rise of the nuns has occurred over the last five decades, with both God belief declining and the percentage of Americans claiming no religious affiliation skyrocketing from less than 5% up to 26% today. And yet, over the course of those same decades, Americans' poverty rate has precipitously declined, and our national violent crime rate has gone down by 51%. Clearly, secularism isn't a hindrance to moral social progress, Barr would have us believe. But how can secular people be moral if they don't believe in God? Easy. Contrary to Barr's perspective, morality did not start with the Bible. Human communities began constructing ethical codes of conduct long before the world's major religions arrived on the scene. And that's because morality first developed during our long evolutionary past, when cooperation, honesty, altruism, and increased group survival concomitantly, our brains long ago developed neurological pathways and peptides that enhanced our ability to be emphatic and compassionate, the two fundamental cornerstones of moral orientation. We've also learned how to treat others through socialization and enculturation, and our innate ability to think, reflect, and reason has consistently led most of us to the basic universal ethical principle that we ought to treat people the way we ourselves would like to be treated. Although religion preaches many moral precepts, it by no means holds a monopoly on them. Ethical life abounds well beyond the confines of church, Bible, and belief in gods. Those who actively scapegoat the secular as pathologically immoral are purposely spreading fear and division, and in so doing, violate the very moral orientation they claim to champion. That was from the article, The Unbearable Wrongness of William Barr, by Phil Zuckerman for Salon. What follows is now from an article, Prodding the Religious Left to Vote. Progressive hopes for an America where healthcare is a human right for everyone, and women's rights to choose remain secure, and gays are safe from cruelty, and people of all sorts are welcome equally in a multicultural society, and college is affordable without crushing debt, and marijuana no longer brings jail terms, and safety measures curb gun massacres, and sensible steps to reduce global warming, and high-bound religion isn't forced onto unwilling people, and extreme incarceration doesn't outstrip the rest of the world, and science prevails over superstition. The best way to attain these advances is to boost voting by the swelling ranks of young Americans who say their religion is none. More than any other population segment, nuns tend to have liberal, tolerant, humanistic, modern views. If they can be induced to participate more strongly in elections, America's moral climate would improve. But there's the rub. Churchless Americans often don't vote. They shun politics as much as they shun supernatural religion, so their potential power lags. In contrast, white evangelicals, although fading, are intense voters who form the core of the Republican Party. These fundamentalists have shrunk to just 15% of the population, down from 20% in 2012, yet they're so politically active, they provided 26% of 113 million votes cast in the 2018 election. 3-1, they supported GOP candidates. The figures for non-religious are sad. They've climbed to 1/4 of the adult population. They were just 17% of 2018 voters. It's too bad their turnout was so poor. American politics reveals a travesty among white evangelicals. Jesus actually was a liberal who taught followers to help the poor, heal the sick, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, uplift the underdog. His social gospel matches the public safety net supported by left-leaning Democrats. But white evangelicals overwhelmingly back the GOP, which tries to slash the safety net. In effect, they oppose Jesus. What can be done to persuade more nuns to vote, to counter the overblown political power of white evangelicals? Could America's widespread secular movement unite in a get-out-the-vote drive? It isn't easy to corral nuns, because they aren't gathered in well-marked congregations like white evangelicals. They're free spirits, scattered, almost invisible, through society. However, America's future will be brighter if more of the churchless can be induced to wield the power of the ballot. This article is from Alternet. No author is attributed.
Sky. Imagine.
This is KBOO Portland. You are listening to the Old Mo Variety Hour. The song, of course, was Imagine by John Lennon. Imagine no religion.